We have been working through, I think it's a 7 or 8 week series that we've entitled A Glimpse of the Life of Christ. And we're taking just certain very small aspects of Christ, his life, his ministry, and we're looking at them and we're saying, how does this apply to me? What does this mean to me today, something that took place 2,000 years ago? So we talked about Jesus as a 12-year-old child, if you remember already. And this morning, what we're going to be focusing on is what we're going to call the bookends of Jesus' ministry. So Jesus did ministry for about 3 years on earth, and there's the beginning of that, and there's the end of that. And there's something that takes place at the beginning and at the end that is what we're going to focus our time on this morning. So at the very beginning of Jesus' ministry, what takes place is that he is baptized. And at the conclusion of his ministry, if you're aware of what the Great Commission is, these are some of Jesus' last words. In that Great Commission is included the words to be baptized, to baptize others, and to disciple people. So we've got baptism at the beginning as an example that's being done. Jesus himself is being baptized. And then it's such an important piece to the Christian journey, this would be my way of looking at it, that at the very end of his ministry, he says, you guys need to do this. Like, this needs to be a part of your Christian experience. Baptism is talked about some 74 times in scriptures. I think in order to kind of understand why I'm going to say baptism is a big deal, there's three questions this morning that we'll look at and hopefully answer and hopefully have a better understanding of why this matters. So we'll start by looking at some scripture. If you have your Bibles with you, turn to the book of Mark chapter 1. If you're using a church Bible, page 812 should get you there. Mark chapter 1, we'll pick up at verse 11. This is kind of our starting text for this morning. I think it gives us a pretty good, vivid, detailed explanation of the beginning of Jesus' ministry. Starting in verse 9, it says, "In those days Jesus came from Nazareth to Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens opening and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven and said, 'You are my beloved Son. With you I am well pleased.'" So this is the very beginning of Jesus' public 3-year ministry. Then 3 years go on, right? And Jesus teaches, Jesus preaches, Jesus loves, Jesus performs miracles, Jesus does all kinds of different ministry. And then at the end of that ministry, Jesus is put to death, and he defeats death. And then in his final words, Jesus tells his disciples, if you just turn back a page to page 811 in Matthew chapter 28, starting at verse 18, Jesus tells his disciples, he says, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples of the nations," and then the next line, "baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to obey, teach them to observe all that I have commanded you." And then he says, "And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." The beginning of his ministry, the example of him actually being baptized, the end of his ministry, his command for us to be baptized. I think baptism matters. I think it does. So three questions I want us to look at this morning. First question is this: what does baptism mean? What does it mean to be baptized? If we could go back in time 2,000 years, to the days of Jesus, there would be a Greek word that we would hear in the language that described a whole variety of different situations, and that Greek word is baptizo. And the word meant simply to immerse, to dip, or to dunk. Immerse, dip, or dunk. It was used in all kinds of different avenues. That particular word. It was used to describe a ship that would sink at sea, or clothing that was dyed in a certain kind of color. It was immersed in it, right? It was baptized. That ship was baptized in the ocean when it sunk. One ancient Jewish historian even described a man that was murdered by baptize. In other words, he was drowned. For a long period of time, the word baptizo had no religious significance whatsoever. Women baptized their dishes. Sinking ships were baptized into the sea. Kids playing in the river dunked or baptized each other. And then one day a man showed up named John and began baptizing people. And in Mark chapter 1, verse 4, it says, John appeared, baptizing in the wilderness and proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. John said that baptism is an outward sign of an inward decision, of inward repentance. In fact, he became so identified with this new meaning of this word that they began to call him John the Baptizer or John the Baptist. Most of you have probably heard of him referred to as John the Baptist. John did something in a religious setting that had never been seen before. He baptized people who wanted to repent from their sin and place their faith in God. So let's look at how John baptized Jesus. The passage we just read, verse 9, tells us that Jesus was baptized by John in the Jordan. Probably a more accurate translation would say Jesus was baptized into the Jordan. And then verse 10 tells us Jesus then came up out of the water. Now it's obvious. The reason that Jesus came up out of the water was because he had been placed down into the water. When you're baptized as a believer, when following the example of Jesus, you're immersed into the water. That's exactly what we read about in Jesus' situation here, his example. Why is it necessary to go down into the water? Because in order to be baptized, what's the definition? Immersed, dipped, dunked. You've got to be buried beneath the water, which is exactly how Paul describes baptism. If you look at Romans chapter 6, verse 4. I'm going to have you turn there. Romans 6, 4. Let's go ahead and turn there and look at Paul's description of baptism. Page 915. If you're using a church Bible. Paul described baptism this way in Romans chapter 6, verse 4. He says, "We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." So think of it like this. Baptism is recognizing and celebrating a new life in Christ. Your old way of living is gone. It's dead. So you bury it. In a sense, the baptistry, like the tank that we use to baptize people in, and different churches do this all differently, we have a tank that's built into our platform here behind us. The tank that we use, it's called the baptistry. In a sense, that baptistry is kind of meant to be like a liquid tomb or a vault where a person is to be buried beneath the water. The old person is gone. Now, I do want to say this as we're talking about baptism today, because I want to be really clear about this, and some of you might disagree with me on this, and that is quite fine. But I do want to say it. I am absolutely convinced that Jesus is more concerned with our hearts than our methods. Okay? So in the brethren in Christ, we talk about methods, and we've been talking about the method here, about being immersed, and the symbolism and importance of being immersed in believers' baptism. In the brethren in Christ, we do this. If you've been here, you've seen it done, where we baptize three times forward, and we baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Right? Kind of in recognition of the Trinity, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. That's the normal way we do baptism here in the brethren in Christ. Many denominations do it very differently. Some will do once backwards. And I will tell you, so I've done three times forward many, many, many times. I've also baptized people once backwards because it was just more practical to do that. I don't think Jesus cares about the method as much as he cares about the heart of the people. Some of you sat in here when we did a baptism where I poured water on somebody. And I didn't immerse them, I didn't dunk them. You know why? Because the person was terrified of water. Terrified of water. But when I sat in that person's house and listened to her and her heart and her desire to follow Jesus and to do what Jesus instructed in regards to making this public declaration of her faith, I think Jesus cares more about the heart than the method. I believe all my heart that Jesus is concerned with our obedience and that we have hearts to follow him, more so about any method that we choose to do. Second question I wanted to try to answer this morning is who is to be baptized? And in the New Testament, without exception, the only kind of baptism that was practiced is what we today would call believer's baptism. In the New Testament, the way that it would happen is you would profess your faith in Jesus Christ, and then you would be baptized. Baptism was the profession of the decision that you made. In Scripture, all over the place, two things always go together: belief and baptism. People believed, and then people were baptized. They always go together in that order. Without exception, every time you read about somebody being baptized in the New Testament, it was after they believed that they had committed their heart to God, never before. So here's a few examples of that. If you turn to Acts chapter 2, verse 41, you can turn there if you want, but we're just going to move through these a little bit quicker. So in Acts chapter 2, verse 41, it says, "So those who received his word, so those who received, who believed his word, were baptized. And there were added to that day about 3,000 souls." Just a little bit further in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 8, verse 12. It says, "But when they believed Philip, as he preached good news about the kingdom of God and the name of Jesus Christ," so when they believed, they were baptized, both men and women. And then just a couple chapters further, Acts chapter 10, verse 44. It says, "While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word." Can anyone withhold water for baptizing these people who have received the Holy Spirit just as we have? "And he commanded them to be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ. Then they asked him to refrain for some days," and the story goes on from there. But again, they've heard, they've received the word. They've heard the word. They've made this decision, their life, and then they follow that with baptism. There's a clear pattern. People were presented the gospel. They respond to the gospel, and they're baptized. I think it's worth adding here that Scripture is also very plain that you do not have to be baptized in order to be saved. And again, I know some of you might disagree with me on that, and that's okay. But I would challenge you to show me the passages that would lead you to believe that. Because here's my argument about that. Water doesn't save anybody, regardless of whether it's a spoonful or a tankful. The only liquid in Scripture that saves a soul is the blood of Jesus Christ. That's it. First John 1:7 says, the blood of Jesus cleanses us from our sins. A person is never baptized to be saved. A person is baptized because they have been saved. You're baptized because you want to show that you have been saved. Baptism is to be performed only on a person who knows Jesus Christ. So who's baptism for? Baptism is for anybody that knows Jesus Christ, has made that commitment to Jesus Christ with their life. Third question is what's the significance of baptism? Why should I do this? I think there's three words that I'm going to share with you this morning that if you write them down or if you remember them some way, you'll always understand why baptism is a big deal and why it's important. And the first word is identify. Identify. Think about this for a moment. Why was Jesus baptized? Why was Jesus, that's a fair question. Jesus was not a sinner. Jesus did not need to become a believer. He is the one we are to believe in. He wasn't professing his faith in God. He was God. So why was Jesus baptized? This is important. The reason Jesus was baptized is directly related to why we should be baptized. Baptism is a means of identification. When Jesus was baptized, he was identifying himself with us and giving us an example to follow. And when we are baptized, we are identifying ourselves with him. Baptism is God's physical picture of the gospel. As most of you know, the gospel is the fact that Jesus died on the cross for our sins and that he was buried and 3 days later he was raised from the dead. That's the gospel. That is exactly what baptism pictures. The death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. That is exactly what Paul tells us in Romans chapter 6. He says, do you not know that all of us who have been baptized into Jesus Christ, we're baptized into his death. We were buried therefore with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. For if we have been united with him in death like his, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. In this passage, we see very clearly three things. The death of Jesus. We were baptized into his death, it says. The burial of Jesus. We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, it says. And the resurrection of Christ. It ends by saying, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life. So baptism is a means of identification by where we identify with what Jesus did for us. Second word, it's a declaration. It's a declaration. For Rachel and I, 25 years ago, a little bit more than 25 years ago, we got married. Many folks in here have been married. And on that wedding day, for most of us, if not all of us, I'm going to guess, a part of the ceremony was putting a ring on your finger, right? Now, I didn't have to put the ring on my finger in order to be married. But I put the ring on in order to show that I was married. It was a declaration of that commitment that was being made. I wear that ring today to show that I am married. I could take the ring off, put it in my pocket, but I'd still be married. The ring does not make me married. The ring shows that I am married. Just as a wedding ring shows that you're married, baptism shows that you are a believer in Jesus Christ and that you belong to Him. When I talk to people about the meaning of baptism, I almost always tell them that baptism is just, it's a declaration of your faith. Right? It's you sharing that you know Jesus Christ personally. Baptism is, in a sense, it's the billboard along the side of the road that's publicly declaring your faith in Jesus Christ. It's you declaring to the world that you have become a believer in Jesus Christ and you accept His death, His burial, His resurrection as payment for your sins. And the third word is change. Baptism pictures the sacrifice of Jesus on the cross, as we've already read in Romans chapter 6. Whenever a person is baptized, they're picturing, right? Like, we can picture this in our heads. When a person is baptized, we're picturing the death, the burial, as they go down into the water. And as they come up out of the water, it's the picturing of the resurrection. The new. What we're picturing is not only what Jesus has done for them, but what Jesus has done to them. That their old person has died. Their old person was buried. And as a result of believing in Jesus, they have been raised as a brand new person. They are changed. When a person gives their heart to Christ, the old person dies, their sins are buried forever beneath his forgiveness. And that person is raised as a brand new person to live their lives in Christ Jesus. As we end our time together this morning, I want to speak to two different groups that may be with us this morning. The first one is this. Maybe you're somebody here that's never been baptized, and the reason you've never been baptized is you've never given your life to Christ. You've never truly received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, which is what I mean by being saved. So I think there's probably some here. You've never been baptized for the obvious reason. You don't know Jesus. I would encourage you this morning to give your life to Christ. To trust Him with your life. He cares more about you than anybody else in the entire world. He created you. So in just a moment, I'm going to pray a very short prayer, a very simple prayer. And if that's you and you want to give your life to Christ this morning, I encourage you just in spirit to pray along with me. We're going to recognize our need for Jesus, for the forgiveness of sin that He offers to us, for the new life that we can have with Him. So if you're here this morning and you've never asked Christ into your life, I encourage you just to pray along with me now as we all bow our heads. Just silently pray along. Heavenly Father, I recognize that I'm lost without you. I recognize that sin is a part of my life and has been a part of my life. And I recognize that you've paid the penalty for that sin. Father God, this morning I ask you to come into my life, to be the center of my life. Lord God, this morning I'm saying that I want to follow you in your ways with whatever life I have left. If you prayed that prayer this morning, I encourage you to tell somebody this morning. A friend of yours that's here, a friend of yours that you know that's a follower of Jesus. Tell somebody so somebody can do that venture, that journey along with you. And then finally, I also think that there's people here this morning that have done that. They've asked Jesus Christ into their lives. There's many of us sitting in this place that have done that. But maybe you've never been baptized for whatever reason. I don't know what that reason is. You know what it is. But you haven't taken that step of believer's baptism. Maybe for you, your experience was as you were immersed as a child or christened as a baby. But later on in life, you received Jesus and you've never been baptized since you were saved. Today, I would encourage you to respond to the example of Jesus and to the instructions of Jesus. I would encourage you to be obedient to the call to baptism as Jesus has instructed us to do. So if that's you this morning, I encourage you, don't push it off. Because if the Holy Spirit's speaking to you now, like, make it known that the Holy Spirit's speaking to you now so that you don't walk out the door and go do lunch and whatever else and it just kind of gets pushed aside and forgotten about. So I would encourage you that if that's you today, do one of three things. Either come up here after the service is over and talk to me, and we will get a date figured out and we will get baptisms rolling. If you're not able to do that, like right now on the screen, there's my email address, there's my cell number. Either email during this last song, text me during this last song so that you don't forget about it. And I will connect with you this next week and we'll get it figured out of when we're gonna do baptisms together. It's a beautiful, beautiful experience, and it's a great way of being obedient to Jesus with what he has set in an example as well as an instruction. Let's pray together. Lord God, we thank you for the example of Jesus Christ in so many areas of our lives, every area of our life. This morning we're focused in on this example of obedience through baptism, and Heavenly Father, I believe that your Holy Spirit is stirring amongst us this morning. I pray that people would be obedient, even right now as I'm praying that they would be saying, you know what, I'm going to talk to Dustin after the service. I'm going to email him right now. I'm going to text him right now. We're going to get this rolling. Father God, we thank you for your love for us. Thank you for this morning and this time together. Pray this in your holy name. Amen.